the testimony in the wilderness. Take ye the sum of all the congregation. Numbers chapter 1 and verse 2. Every man shall pitch by his own standard. Numbers chapter 2 and verse 2. Now this book has its name from the account it gives of the number of the children of Israel, twice taken particularly. It contains a history of the affairs of God's chosen people and of their travels in the wilderness. In those ancient times, the Lord God set up the tabernacle of testimony in the wilderness, and out from this he gave several laws to Moses, as recorded in the previous book, Leviticus. The camp of Israel was the Lord's light-bearer in a darkened world. In a certain locality, each tribe has had its own special place as a light-bearer. The tribes were, you see, in some senses, figures of local churches, as we see in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, where John is commanded to write to the seven churches of Asia. Seven is a symbolic number of completion, so that the seven represented all the assemblies of God. Now notice first the numbered people. These all were God's redeemed people. They had been rescued by God's own hand from the tyranny of Egypt. When redeemed, a miracle of God supplied their daily needs. A moving pillar guided them in their movements onward to his inheritance. The law was given them to teach them how to live. They were fenced around by strict social customs and temple worship. Their contact with the world had been broken. They were separated from the nation. God was their defense. The land of promise lay before them. And all this is a wonderful picture of the Lord's spiritually freed people in Christ. Our chains of Satan's captivity are broken. We are the ransomed and freed of the Lord, and are now journeying as strangers through a wilderness world, which is naught but a desert waste. Thus we daily praise God for our curse-bearing Savior and the rich worth of his imputed merits. But before God's people move from Sinai's base, God gives command that they are to be numbered. This was for the more orderly journeying and encampment while in the wilderness, but the mixed multitude with them were not to be so numbered. It is a habit with men to count their possessions. A shepherd counts his sheep, and so the Lord. In this numbering, we read of God's love. We are counted because we are loved and prized. Our names are upon his heart. He esteems us among his choicest jewels. But who are the numbered? Not the young, the weak, the female. Those only are enrolled whose age and strength enable them for war. And so there is a spiritual application here. And this teaches us that all believers, whether men or women, are to live a warrior life. We are to boldly follow our file leader and captain and be ready to fight the world, the flesh, and the devil. It shows us something of the militant state we ought to have while in this wilderness, for which we are provided, prepared, and accounted. Each soldier paid a ransom price, as you see from Exodus chapter 30 and verse 12. There was no difference of different age or state. In all this, each of the people confessed their need of redemption. And so all in Christ plead one sacrifice and bring to God the same expiation price. And what a great army these children of Israel were. Only one family has entered Egypt. In spite of all efforts to annihilate them, they had multiplied. And so it is with the redeemed in Christ. And who can number the redeemed? The Lord knoweth them that are his. They are saved from every nation, kindred, people, and tongue. Their robes are made white in Jesus' blood. Their hands wave palms of victory. By numbering, we learn how much God was in the thoughts, too, of those who were chosen to do the numbering, all of whom bore names which reflected some feature of the promised Messiah. Now, we look, secondly, at the camp. Even the wicked Balaam had to praise the camp of God's people. Its beauty captivated his eye, and the order of it charmed his mind. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel, he cried. It was a sheer delight to look upon, as you read in Numbers chapter 24, 5 and 6. Their tents were not ornate palaces, not reared as lasting monuments. They could be set up one day, the next taken down. The short-lived home of earthly sojourners. So are our bodies, which are but clay. And how then should we either pamper or admire them? There is no humbler thing than a tent. And how soon our clay bodies crumble. Dust we are, and to dust we return. Our tents must fall. We cannot boast even of tomorrow. The flesh is but a mean abode. Yet the Lord took upon him this frail flesh in Christ incarnate. Behind the hodden grey of this frail humanity, there was hidden the glories of deity. He took it upon him that he might suffer, bleed, and die, and bear the curse in his own body. He did his godlike work in a lowly tent. Look at the order of the camp. What perfect regularity. The arrangement of it is perfect. God has made his testimony an orderly testimony. There is no confusion where he dwells. Where he sits enthroned, his government prevails. Thus, in the life of this assembly, there is order, a place of worship in his sacred presence, a gathering for the study of his holy word, a tender care given to each family. All is a well-ordered scheme. Note the position of the tent. About the tabernacle of the congregation, shall they pitch? They all focused upon one thing. As planets circle the sun, so these tents were set around the tabernacle. So the Lord Jesus is the center, the heart, the life, the joy of his gathered people. The eyes of all his saints are directed upon him. Then we see a standard, a banner, floating over each side of the camp. Beneath each banner, the tribes rested. By its side, they march. The banner over us, says Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 4, is love. And upon that banner, we read the inmost love of God's own heart. That standard is the pledge of safety. Mighty foes may assail. They must fail. The fight may be fierce, but no one of Christ can perish. And beneath that standard, there is sweet repose. The Lord watches over this camp and testimony, night and day. I, the Lord, do keep it. Lest any hurt it, I will keep it night and day. Isaiah 27 and verse 3. And so day by day, the camp moves on, ever onward to the promised land. Now hear the words of Nicholas von Zinzendorf, words translated by Jane Borthwick. Jesus, still lead on till our rest be won, and although the way be cheerless, we will follow calm and fearless. Guide us by thy hand to our fatherland. If the way be drear, if the foe be near, let not faithless fears overtake us. Let not love and hope forsake us. For through many a foe, to our home we go. Jesus, still lead on, till our rest be won. Heavenly Father, still direct us. Still support, console, protect us, till we safely stand in our fatherland. God grant it. Amen. And amen.